This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport Radio. Me, Matt Beadle, with you for one more hour here on our Monday night fan show special. And right now, it is all about the hoops. Of course, it is indeed. After 5 without a win, it's now 2 without defeat for the R's. A big win, of course, against Stoke last time out. That ended that run of 5 without a win. This weekend, Nottingham Forest, that is, were wanting to avoid successive home league defeats for the first time since 2018. It was close. They just about managed to avoid it. A goalless draw with the R's at the City Ground. Mark Warburton going back to his old club, of course, and just stifling their promotion push. It's the QPR fan show. Me, Matt Beadle, joined as ever by James Norris and Rich Blackburn, two massive QPR fans. Hello, James.
Hi, guys.
Great to have you on the line. Hello, Richard.
Hi there.
Great to have you on the line too. James, I'll come to you first. It was pretty tight. A disallowed goal, of course, for Nottingham Forest because of swirling winds and the ball moving as Joe Lolley took his corner kick. It ended 0-0. Would you say a fair result, really, in the end?
Yeah, it was a good point. I think, especially with our first win in our history, didn't we, last season at Forest? We waited a long time for that. You know, it's always a tough place to go. It's one of those places as well. We don't normally get many draws there. You know, they're normally defeats. So the fact that they're going for promotion, I think it was. I think we had a good turnout of fans there. I think off the back of the Stoke win, we went in reasonably confident. Obviously, still need a few points to secure safety for next season. But I think it was a good point, which was deserved. And obviously, Forest are going to be a little bit aggrieved with the goal was disallowed, but the ball was moving. There was no question about that. So I don't think they can really argue too much. Their chances at both sort of ends, and they battled well, and you know, we showed a bit of class when we could.
It's a funny old thing, isn't it, Richard, when wind plays a part in that sense, because there was literally nothing that Joe Lolley could have done. But like we just said there, there's the rules of the game, and that is the way that it is.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, the rules are the rules, but I think, you know, to me, this flags up the question with the officials again, because I truly believe unless Manning had kicked up a fuss about it, the officials would have let that go. You know, fair play to Manning for saying what was right. The officials hadn't. You saw how long the delay was before they disallowed it. I mean, Forest had gone back to their own half. They were ready for kickoff, and then the refs actually disallowed it. It just shows how bad the officiating is in this league. They have to be told the rules.
Yeah, they do have to actually be told the rules. We can talk about VAR and all that nonsense, but we won't. We won't get into that in particular because, to be honest, I'm fed up of talking about VAR on this flaming station, to be fair. All we seem to do is talk about VAR because it brings everything up every single weekend. There is an issue with it. I want to talk about goals, though, fellas. Of course, naturally, we're going to talk about goals, and we're going to bring up Naki Wells again, of course, because since his last appearance for QPR, that was mid-January before he moved on to Bristol City, went back to Burnley, and then to Bristol City. In 4 of the last 6 league games, the club have failed to find the net. Now, they've come in 4 of the past 5 as well. James, we've spoken about plugging that gap many, many times on this show, but it is going to be a problem, isn't it, from now until the end of the season?
I think beyond that, I think this season doesn't really matter so much. I think you've got to think to next season, because obviously Hugel's done a decent job. Obviously a totally different player to Naki, but, you know, we might get him on loan next year. Obviously, the thing is, when you get the loan players from the Premiership clubs, that tends to happen at the end of the window. You want to go and have a good pre-season, don't you, and get players in as early as possible. I wouldn't think he'd feature that much with West Ham, but, you know, Moyes obviously brought him into West Ham. Moyes is back there now. It doesn't seem to be anything coming through the, you know, the development side for a striker. And, you know, strikers are the hardest positions to fill. Now, we probably will have a few quid to spend because you'd hope we'd be sensible and try and get, you know, 20-odd million for Eze in the summer. But obviously that 20 million's got to be spent wisely, and just to go out and get a striker in the Championship, that's the difference between maybe, you know, struggling next season and doing a half-decent job. I mean, I think we're 11 points above relegation at the moment, aren't we? So I think we're pretty good now. I know I said on the show a couple of weeks ago that, you know, we were still in a bit of a bum fight, but since we've gone on from there, we got 4 points. So I'd say we're going to be okay. I fancy us to get a few points for the next couple of games as well. I'm more worried about next season rather than this season.
I actually think it's 9. Sorry to burst your bubble, James. It's 9 points, I think, clear of relegation.
Oh,
yeah, it's 9. But, I mean, listen, I think, to be fair, despite the fact that Wigan are on an OK run at the moment, both Middlesbrough and Huddersfield in free fall, really, on terrible runs for them. Luton getting a couple of wins before their defeat against Charlton at the weekend. Barnsley with another win. So, a ray of light for that bottom three who, you know, up until a couple of weeks ago, looked dead and buried. But I think 9 points is certainly a good enough buffer, really, right now.
Probably still need a couple of wins, but yeah. Yeah,
definitely. I think you do need a couple of wins just to ensure that you are going to stay up. But on that note as well, we had the Leyton Orient fan show before you guys, and they're in quite a nice position now. Not that it's nice to be sitting 18th in League Two, but they know they're not going to go up. They know they're not going to go down. So it gives the manager, Richard, a bit of an opportunity to tinker, in a sense, to experiment and actually look ahead to next season without having to worry about the current season.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Ote on the bench with goal from Bradford. I know he didn't set the world alight up there, but he did bag a few goals. I mean, for me, it's the perfect opportunity now. You know, we're 9 points clear. I don't see any risk of us going down. Why not give him some game time? Let's see what the boy can do. Prove us all wrong and score a few goals, build the confidence for the team and building it for next season. You can build the team around him. He's one of our own. We've got him. It's not like he's going to have to go back at the end of the season elsewhere. We've got him, let's just use him, see what he's like, what we've got to lose.
Oh, absolutely. I completely agree with you. And having seen him earlier on this season, to be fair, he does look pretty decent, pretty sharp. We know when a player scores goals on loan at another club, sometimes it doesn't always work out when he goes back to his parent club in that same season. But maybe, like you said, give him a shot and nothing to lose. I want to talk about Eberi Eze, James. You mentioned him there as well earlier. 100th game, I believe, this weekend in a QPR shirt for him. He's since come out and said that he's just focusing on football at the moment. Of course, plenty of speculation. You just said there, maybe 20 million in the summer. Various clubs that are bound to be in for him this summer. But he's saying, no, do you know what? And I know that it's the company line. It's the line they always have to come out with, the fact that the media team probably even say to them, look, if you ever get asked the question, come out with this. But he admitted that last season, maybe his head was slightly turned and he was looking around. But right now, he's speaking to his family. He's speaking to his close friends and is focusing purely on the Arse.
Yeah, he looks like a great kid. I think he's got all of the... If you go back to Adel Surratt was an absolute genius, probably the best player I've ever seen in the hoops. You know, probably, you know, even better than the likes of, you know, Les and Wilkins, in my opinion.
Wow.
But, you know, I think that Eze probably will have a better career than what Surratt does, because I think he's got the recipe right. You know, he's working hard, he's training hard. I'd love him. I'd just love to have got him on a four-year contract rather than a three when we did. That meant we could have him for another year. You know, he's not going to sign a new contract now. You know, why would he? So he's going to go in the summer. Where I think we've seen some good displays from him. We've seen some great displays from him. But I think his best is still, you know, his best to come is still in the coming years. So I think we can appreciate what we've had. We just need to maximise what we get for him, really, because he is a very, very special talent. And what I saw on one of those stats reports this week was his stats are better than what Mason Mount's were last season. And obviously, you know, he's playing in the Chelsea first team now. You know, you put Eze in a team, you know, a top six team. Who knows what he could do in the Premiership as well. You know, I certainly think there's an England cap there for him in the future.
Well, I was going to say, let alone Mason Mount being a Chelsea regular, he's received that England call-up, hasn't he? Kind of
Absolutely.
Felt that he had to actually get into the Premier League to be able to do that. You look at the Mason Mount of last season, is he really that different to the Mason Mount of this season? But it's that stigma that seems to be attached to England that they can't seem to delve into the Championship. So, Eze, Calvin Phillips, another player, of course, that people are suggesting might go to Euro 2020, but you think that Gareth Southgate will probably stick with the top flight. But speaking of players as well at the club, and you spoke about the contract there that you wish he'd signed for longer, both Ryan Manning and Bright Osei Samuel, they've extended their deals until the summer of 2021.
Yeah, I don't think that's great news, to be honest. I think that's a bit of a blow, because we took the option to extend the clause, which means they haven't signed new deals. So I think,
well, you can look at it both ways, though. I mean, the club have been proactive, giving us more time to negotiate a deal. But then you can also look at it the flip side. So I don't think it's as negative as people are saying. It gives us more time to negotiate a deal and know that we are serious about keeping them.
I think the problem is we took too long to get the deal on the table. now they're going to both have premiership offers. Well, certainly Samuel's going to have premiership offer, isn't he? I think the club probably waited too long to get a deal done.
The deal started from December, January time. I mean, there was reports coming out then, so I don't think we can say we waited too long. We waited 6 months before their contract was up. You know, they only had technically a two-year contract. We tried to renew it 18 months in. The fact that, obviously, Bright, I think, has gone above the levels what anybody thought he would do this season. I mean, we all knew he was class, but, I mean, he's just been another level to watch. And on his day, he's unplayable. And, you know, if anything, it's a good thing for the club. But you couldn't predict that, and obviously what they do with the youth contract, they give them that two-year deal with a year extension because they might flop, and you never know with young players. They could end up flopping, and you end up with a four-year, five-year contract with a player that's not even League Two worthy, but obviously that hasn't happened in this situation.
Well, he's been getting premiership interest since the start of the season, hasn't he? You know, his stats have been there. And you know, first game of the season, Bright Samuel got voted the best player in the Championship. You know, so you know, and he was tearing it up as early as September. I think we've you know, they're both. Manning's dipped in form, as you said on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I agree with that. But Bright Samuel's been at it for a while now, and I think I'd be surprised if I think we've got more chance of keeping Manning than we've got of keeping Bright Samuel, because Bright Samuel is on fire. The thing is, you know, what you said about them flopping, which probably means we could have probably got them on a better deal if we'd have done it earlier. I think history shows in these positions, the players don't tend to sort of sign when there's premiership, you know, offers. But hopefully I'm wrong. I'm just speaking from experience.
The flip side of that, you talk about renewing someone's contract 12 months into a three-year deal. I mean, it kind of you do that at the beginning of the season, it kind of defeats the whole point of having those three-year deals in place, doesn't it? It's got to work for us so we don't overspend in the first year and we can reevaluate it after 18 months, which I think is what's been done here. And I personally, I think you could be right, and I hope you're not, with the fact that they haven't signed their deals. I mean, it's six of one after the other. They could be going one way, could be walking out the door, and it means that 12-month extension gives us more money when we sell them, when the inevitable happens. But it could also be just we're buying more time, so we don't have the pressure on us.
I think with the victims of our own, it's a good point as well, because we've given so many poor contracts away in the past. You know, to absolute, you know, gash that's been on the table. You know, when we've got a couple of, you know, kids that are quite good, it's a little bit frustrating. But I work with you know, Dave from West London Sport. The thing that's made me think it might not happen. Do you read West London Sport, Rich?
I try and avoid their ratings, but I read the program. I read the program.
So what he said was a couple of months back, he seemed quite hopeful that they were going to sign new deals. He's normally on the button. The fact that they haven't now and they've extended it makes me think that something may have changed. I did try to get a bit more out of Dave on that, but he wasn't giving much away. I'm just maybe I'm being a bit cynical, but I do get your point.
But there is also the flip side of it. Buys us more time with no pressure, but ultimately, yeah, you could be right.
Let's see.
Let's see, gents. Great debate on this, the QPR fan show on Love Sport. Next up, we've got Chris Kemp on the line, visiting 1,500 games now as a QPR fan. Stick with us.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
It's the QPR fan show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, with James Norris. Big R's fan. Delighted to say we're also joined now by Chris Kemp, and quite the story Chris has, because on Saturday, in that goalless draw with Nottingham Forest at the City Ground, he racked up his 1,000th and 500th game as a QPR fan. It is quite an incredible statistic. I cannot wait to get into the nitty-gritty of this one. Hello, Chris.
Hi.
Great to have you on the line. Thank you very much for joining us. So 1,500 games at the weekend. I mean, that is an incredible achievement.
Thank you very much. I mean, it's actually more than that, but it's 1,500 consecutive competitive games.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I did a few more before that, but yeah, the run started in September 1989. Continued with the game against Nottingham Forest on Saturday, as you said.
So these are consecutive games. So from 89 all the way up to 2019. So we're talking 30 years of watching games week in, week out as a QPR fan, Chris.
We are. A bit of a glutton for punishment, perhaps. And it's it's an achievement I'm very proud of, but I think I've been quite lucky along the way. I've had some really, really good friends who go with me to games. I've had a hugely supportive family who've sort of put up with the obsession, if nothing else, and my borderline OCD to go and see all these games. And work has been fantastic as well. But to be fair, I'm just an ordinary fan who maybe has done something a little bit extraordinary, I suppose. I've been lucky enough to be healthy, to be able to get to the games and to have the money to support the team. And, you know, it's been a fantastic experience. And, you know, I'm not setting a limit on it. I'd like to see just how far it goes, really. The worrying thing for me is that another 500 games is another 10 or 11 years. And at 52 now, I'm probably pushing it a bit. But you never know. The enjoyment's still there.
What do you reckon you can get to, James? What, have you got an estimate on where you are so far?
No, I haven't. I know I've done about 70-odd grounds watching Rangers, you know, in all three divisions. But that's remarkable. I mean, it's I thought I was mental following the Isles all around the country all those years. But that's another level of fanaticism. Absolutely, you know, I think that's been covered quite a lot, hasn't it, over the last couple of days on social media. It's different level altogether. Can't help but sit back and admire.
Chris, I've got to say, I saw one particular comment when you were pressed on it in terms of the financial aspect of all of this. We're looking at what, upwards of around £80,000. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm, as I said before, I'm slightly borderline OCD, so I'm surprised I haven't kept a record of exactly how much it's cost me. But I reckon, yeah, with the cost of tickets, petrol and programmes, at today's value, I would say it's probably £80,000, yeah. I've worked out very, very roughly, yeah.
So if we're in 1989, what are we looking at? Don Howe, the manager at the time?
Oh, now you're asking. I think it might be a little bit before him. It was September 1989. I know the first game was we were away at Man City and we lost 1-0, and Clive Allen scored the winning goal for Man City that day.
Trevor, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I think, to be honest, we've had so many managers, it's difficult to keep track of them compared to the games I've done. it's, as Mark Warburton said, in what I was not expecting at all, but a really nice sort of tribute thing on Twitter. He said, from the current manager, and I think you've seen off a few, I'd like to think I'm not the sole cause, but I've probably seen more managerial changes than most.
I bet you have. I mean, in terms of the numbers, you can lose count. I was going to start counting them, but you're talking about 30-plus managers, so I'm not even going to put a number on it.
Yeah,
a few repeated in that time
a lot
as well.
Of people. Absolutely. And if you include the people who are caretakers as well, it's probably in excess of that, yeah.
So if I had to press you, Chris, and I said you can revisit one of those 1,500 games that you've watched consecutively, which one would it be?
Can I change the result of one of them? Am I allowed
to
do that as well? I would certainly not want to go through the Vauxhall Motors debacle at home when we lost in the FA Cup on penalties. That was one of the low points. I think if I could go back and experience something again, although my favourite in that run is the Championship playoff final, because it's the only time I've ever seen us win at Wembley. I think for atmosphere, probably the game that still sends shivers down my spine when I think about it is when we came back from 2-0 down to beat Liverpool 3-2 at home, when Jamie Mackey scored the winning goal in the year that essentially we stayed up in the Premier League despite losing to Man City 3-2 in the Aguero game. Because the atmosphere that night was absolutely electric, and it kick-started essentially what was that massive run towards the end of the season where we couldn't stop winning against decent sides and, as I say, eventually stayed up.
Yeah, certainly was a great game. Chris, listen, thank you so much for coming on this evening. Really appreciate your time. That was Chris Kemp there. 1,500 consecutive games as a QPR fan. I mean, quite incredible, James, isn't it? I mean, I can't even imagine going to 30-odd consecutive games. 1,500, home and away. It's just unbelievable.
It is. You know, we need, every club needs their, you know, their fans like that. I mean, obviously, a lot of people can't do it because of, you know, work and family commitments and stuff. So to be able to do that, it's just, it's virtually impossible, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's, and like you said, he's lucky to have a group of friends around him and a very accommodating family, I would imagine, to allow him to do that. Just an incredible achievement, yeah. And as he said, he's gonna continue. And in terms of games that he's been to, of course, it is more than that. This is purely a stat because it's consecutive. Speaking of consecutive, it is three consecutive games without defeat for QPR in the Championship as things stand. A trip hosting Derby County, I should say, James, tomorrow evening. Of course, do you know what? I tell you what, we can never stop reliving a certain moment. Let's do that before we get into it.
Just starting to believe a little bit. Well, Hoylett's got the better of Buxton. Puts it into an area. Keogh! Zamora! Unbelievable! From the very brink of elimination, Bobby Zamora has surely scored another playoff winner.
Oh, it just sends a shiver down your spine, doesn't it, James?
Oh, what a day that was. I think a lot of us said that day, we said we'll take, you know, losing every game for the rest of our history if we can just, you know, get one win at Wembley. And then the next season, we didn't start off too well. We thought that was actually going to happen.
Yeah, incredible day, 2014 playoff final, of course. Richard Keogh, silly boy, gave the ball to Bobby Zamora and he slammed it into the back of the net. I know that we've played Derby since, but hey, it's always good to relive that moment. And I have to say that since that time, if you go back to 2016 now, a couple of years later, the R's are actually winless in seven league matches against the Rams. That was since that 2-0 win in March. They come to Loftus Road, buoyed at the moment with Wayne Rooney in incredible form. We saw him score a Panenka penalty against Fulham on Friday in his 500th league appearance. So they're looking good, aren't they?
I think we'll beat them. I think they are. I think they had a slow start to the season, didn't they? They were struggling a little bit, but I fancy us. It's a sort of, you know, Derby try and play a bit of football as well. That will suit us. I think last year when they came down, I think they were a better team last year. They came down a bush and I think we got a 1-1. I think we were a bit unlucky not to take the points. I wasn't aware, though, that it's been so long since we've beaten Derby. That's a little bit of a surprise. So obviously, we need to try and put that right.
Yeah, it certainly has been a while. And actually, on our Derby County fan show earlier on this evening, Charlie Hawkins spoke to Simon Long of Rams Writer. He believes a key battle will be in the midfield.
I think the midfield battle will be important. Again, I think if he's going to, I think we need some consistency in team selection, perhaps. You know, I mean, I think it worked well last on Friday night with the midfield of Bird and Shinny, with Rooney in there as well, playing that more central attacking role. But I don't think he'll go for that because I think he made that too, because Shinny is obviously your competitive midfielder. He'll go in, he'll win the ball all day long for you. That's what he does. That's what his game is all about. You've got Bird, who is just becoming this unbelievable talent that the academy's pulled through, you know, and he's becoming sort of an upgrade on Tom Huddleston. You know, his range of passing. I saw him play a ball from inside his own half to the edge of the penalty area to Wayne Rooney. Unbelievable. But again, he's someone now that's starting to get involved more, starting to create more. And they weren't leaving Rooney alone. On Friday, they were all over Max. They were all over Max Bird because they've seen how he can start dictating things, you know. And that's something that I think going forward, if we can get him dictating play, then all of a sudden you're left in a situation where hang about. We can't man mark Rooney out of the game and man mark Max Bird. It's either going to be one or the other. And I think that's what Fulham did, and they realised Max Bird potentially is more of a threat sat in that deep holding midfield role. So we'll try and nullify him, but he coped with it well. But that then gave free rein to Rooney, who then obviously took his opportunity from the penalty spot. And I think that's going to be a similar sort of thing that, you know, QPR have got to look at. How do we deal with Derby County's midfield? Because that's where the threat's coming from. That's where the challenge is coming from. You know, if you've got Max Bird dictating games because Rooney's being man-marked, that's fine. That means players like Tom Lawrence have got to step up, Martin Waghorn have got to step up, and they've been doing that. They've been doing that last few games. So at this moment in time, I do feel that, you know, the midfield battle is where games are going to be won and lost.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one tomorrow night. Just quickly then, what is your score prediction, Simon?
I'm going 1-0 to the Rams.
Oh, he's saying 1-0 to the Rams, James. And actually, quite interesting there, he's talking about midfield. I'm looking forward to seeing Eze coming up against Rooney.
Yeah, it's going to be a good battle. I think, obviously, I think Eze will have a big part in the game. It's like, you know, if he's on song, QPR obviously a better team. I fancy us. You can probably rip me on this in the show next week. I'm going to predict a third clean sheet in a row. Not a third clean sheet in a row. Another, you know, third clean sheet in four. Going to go for 2-0 for 2-0 for the R's, and I fancy Eze and Hugo to score.
Oh, I love to hear it, James. Love to hear it. Could be creeping up that championship table too. James Norris, thank you very much for joining us as ever on this, the QPR Fan Show. It's Derby tomorrow. Derby in a rich vein of form with Wayne Rooney leading the way. We'll bring you all the reaction to that one on the QPR Fan Show next week. Same time, same place, 10 p.m. on Love Sport London. We'll see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.